This is Sylvester McCoy, and you're listening to the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who Podcast.
APP Services, Lavazzi@boob1.co.uk present the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who Podcast.
We are going to be hiccuping and coughing at each other whilst we wait impatiently for...
It's probably Matthew, isn't it?
Doing Kirby
it,
and Mary.
Okay, here we go then. Hello and welcome to the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who Podcast, episode 227. I'm Adam and here's Debbie.
Hello.
Oh, hang on. Just as we thought all was lost, Kirby Bartlett Sloan has just appeared on the thingy. How timely is that? Let's see how this goes. Okay,
we're working with only one microphone, so are you recording?
No, I'm recording.
Please record.
I'm recording.
Okay.
Hello, Adam.
Hello, Sylvester.
How are you?
I'm very, very well. I've just opened up a can of lager. I'm glad I didn't take any sips out of it, otherwise I might have sounded a bit stupid.
Never. Hello, Deborah.
Hello, Sylvester. How are you?
I'm fine. It's a nice laugh you've got there.
Oh, thank you.
I don't do laughing, so it's probably just as well.
I do tend to chortle in the corner. I
can't hear you very well. But... So, anyway, here I am over here, and you're over there.
Yeah, yep. Welcome.
Wherever that is, the Isle of Wight.
The Isle of Wight, yes. Yeah. Well, it's not sunny
nice
at the moment.
I like the Isle of Wight.
Good. Come over.
Yeah, we should do a convention.
Should, I agree.
Do you know what? That would be a bonzer idea.
Absolutely.
Right.
So how are you enjoying Conker Sturbris then, Sylvester?
I'm enjoying it very well. No one knows how to pronounce it, but I'm enjoying it.
I don't know how.
It's a difficult one. I didn't know it was something to do with Doctor Who.
Did you not?
Because in my day, they only had Gallifrey. We couldn't afford all the other bits of it.
Right.
They came later.
So what did you think it was to do with them?
Sorry?
What did you think it was to do with them if you didn't think it was to do with Doctor Who?
Oh, I don't know. I have no idea. I mean, I remember the very first time when I got my invite to go to a Doctor Who convention in Britain, I'd be coming to America lots during that time, but the very first one, two letters arrived. One was from Planet Something or Other, and the other was the Doctor Who Fan Club of Liverpool. The Planet Something or Other, whatever it was called, was in Birmingham, and I thought, I'll go to Birmingham, it's nearer. So I arrive at Birmingham, and I tell the Doctor Who in Liverpool, I can't come, I've got another gig on. I arrive, turns out it's a Star Trek gig. I felt so guilty. I turned down a Doctor Who to go to a Star Trek gig because I didn't know what the planet thing 1, 2, 3 or whatever it was called was.
Yes,
I just thought it was a planet from Doctor
these
Who.
These names can get a bit confusing, can't they?
Yes, I've been to the Isle of Wight. Yeah, I've sailed around the Isle of Wight. I once did a circus where was it? Portsmouth, I get them mixed up.
Portsmouth.
And we did this circus.
Yes.
And one of the carpenters who worked on it was an American who'd come over to Britain and bought a yacht. And therefore, he had the yacht parked inside Portsmouth docks. And they wanted to charge him for it. So we all got up very early in the morning and under cover of dawn, sailed the boat away and sailed to the Isle of Wight. It was the first time I'd ever sailed in a yacht, and I loved every minute of it. It was great.
Oh,
we were
lovely.
Pirates.
This circus, was it the greatest pirates. Show in the galaxy, by any chance?
Greatest show in the galaxy.
Never mind.
No, it wasn't.
We've just had Round the Island weekend, where thousands of people sail round the Isle of Wight, and there was no wind, so everybody sat and got drunk and got a tan.
It's got very, very slowly around the Isle of Wight.
Sounds fun. Well, anyway, it's nice chatting to you, but
yes,
my brain is shutting down.
That's fine.
Thank you so much for giving us the time. I do appreciate it.
I've just done a panel, and there's a sound of TARDIS coming through, so maybe another doctor's arriving in a minute, so hang on, he might arrive.
Time for
anyway,
a cup of tea.
Have fun. Bye.
Thank you, Sylvester.
Bye.
Right, and that concludes this week's episode of the show. And,
sorry, I've got to say something, so
go on in.
This is Sylvester McCoy, and you're listening to the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who Podcast.
Yay.
Oh, thank you very much.
Thank you very much indeed.
I'm glad everybody stayed quiet for that bit.
Tried to.
Thank you.
Okay. Oh, that was brilliant.
Okay.
We are dealing with very tinny speakers and one microphone. So, this might be a shorter podcast than usual, and we're going to be passing the microphone back and forth.
Well, as we said before, we're winging it.
Special. We're winging it, but you've made it special already. That was brilliant. Thank you.
Scoot to the table.
The audience wants to scoot up.
Come around the table so you can hear the what's coming out of the speakers.
I can hear what's coming out of the speakers. I'm right here.
Not you.
Very sorry.
Hi, Mary.
We're going to get people to come up a little closer. Hello. We have an audience of...
Three?
The chairs.
Three.
Yeah.
Yay! Hello, audience. We can do audience by name.
We actually have a few people who want to sit in.
Yes.
Fantastic.
Conquistorbers. I've at least seen some lovely pictures.
Yeah, they've been fabulous.
And now you're wearing your T-shirt, so I'm not angry anymore.
Hey, I haven't even got one.
Last I checked, Matthew wasn't wearing his T-shirt.
Matthew off because we're not quite sure if he's still part of the team at the moment. The jury's out.
While we have some people... Adam.
Yes, yes.
Adam.
Yes.
Adam. While we have some people here, since this is such a small group, why don't we pass the microphone around and talk to the people who are right here?
Well, I can't pass it to Debbie because she's in another house at the moment.
We're getting two more people. Woo-hoo! Yeah.
That's only because they think Sylvester McCoy's in the room.
Okay. You don't have to say anything.
Oh, don't talk.
If they don't want to, I know that
some of these people are listeners to the podcast.
Oh, cool.
To our podcast. Do you know what a podcast is?
They're listeners to the podcast, but they don't know what a podcast is. I'm getting a bit worried.
You don't have to say anything if you don't want to. But it's just that a podcast is an kind of an internet radio show. You can download them, listen to them on your iPod, on your Android device, on your computer, stream them on your computer. We're one of several Doctor Who podcasts.
Don't mention them.
Do you want to explain why it's a 20 megabyte?
Yeah, I can explain why it's a 20 megabyte, because 4 years ago, when I was a young man, I decided to set up this podcast, and in those days, the maximum download for streaming, if you weren't in your own house with a Wi-Fi connection, was 20 megabytes. So we decided to make the podcast a maximum of 20 megabytes, but unfortunately, it did a flip and became a minimum of 20 megabytes. Does that explain it? Because I got too long, basically.
Yes.
Pretty much.
Because Kirby talks too much.
Anyway, we record this every week. We normally review the current, either the current stories when they're on, or we review old stories. And yes. Matthew, wherever he went, is on. Mary, myself, I'm Kirby. And we have two regulars from the Isle of Wight, Debbie and Adam, who you're hearing on the computer, and we sometimes have a couple of Australians on, but
very,
taking
very rare
time off for right now. Anyway, do you want me to pass the microphone around and we talk to some other people?
Come back, all is forgiven.
Hello?
Hello. Yes, I'm waiting. You take over, Kirby. I can't see anybody. I'm listening and enjoying this particular aspect of the show.
I'm going to pass the microphone
around.
This
is brilliant.
Yes. It's true winging it, this
That's
is.
Different from last year.
It is, actually,
last
yes,
year
it is.
We were stuck in a hallway.
And we had Caitlin Blackwood.
Nobody wants to speak to us, Adam.
That's because it's you, Debbie.
Oh, fine.
Alabama.
Hello.
Hello.
Hiram Lester from Birmingham, Alabama.
Excellent. Is that far away from Conquistorbers?
Natalie Johnson.
He's asking a question.
What was your question?
Is Birmingham, Alabama, is that a long way for you to travel to the convention?
No, about an hour and a half.
No, that's not too bad.
I was going to say, it wasn't that far. Not as far as Kirby seems to think the Isle of Wight is.
Yeah, I was about to say, it's probably twice the distance from going across the Isle of Wight.
Well,
it's nothing to us Americans.
Yeah, well, bear in mind, the only convention I've ever been to is in London. It took me about 2 hours to drive there.
Yeah, England's fussier.
Yeah, and you've got a stretch of water. Sorry, carry on. Sorry.
Yeah, carry on, please, yeah.
Keith Johnson here from Madison, Alabama with my daughter, Natalie.
Hello, Natalie.
Hello.
I'm Jason Chuang. I'm also from Birmingham, Alabama, but I'm originally from Montgomery, Alabama. So I basically have lived, I'm Asian and lived in the whole state of Alabama. So talk about a, I guess, almost like an oxymoron or some a weird way of saying something. I don't know how to say it. I don't know how much of a southern accent I got, if you can tell, but hopefully not too bad.
My, there's a lot of Doctor Who fans in Alabama, which is fantastic.
Including one prodigal podcaster.
Oh, my goodness.
One last appearance.
What do you mean one last appearance? I don't remember that being in the contract.
I don't remember there was a contract to begin with, Mr. Pearson.
I'm afraid there was a verbal contract. There's still contracts, Matthew. Debbie Matthew.
Hello.
Hello. We have never actually been on the show together.
No, we have not. It's probably I was beginning to worry that I'd scared you off.
It's probably a good time to say it's now time for this week's edition of You Won't Get This One. No, it isn't. I haven't got any questions. I could do some questions. I've got a box of Trivial Pursuit Doctor Who here somewhere.
Yeah, but Matthew will win.
I'm just
fluke.
So how are you, Matthew? I haven't heard you for such a long time.
I'm a bit tired. It's been a lot like running a 3-day marathon, being involved on the core staff this year rather than just being a volunteer. But it's been a lot of fun, minus, you know, a few headaches here and there. The analogy I've come up with best for this weekend in running a convention is that it's a bit like NASA getting a rocket off a launch pad, and that getting the thing up and going is the hard part. But once you get it going, minus a few mid-course corrections, things tend to go very well.
That's what she said.
Fantastic. Oh, wasn't that Mary's line?
I should have known that was coming.
That's what she said.
Yes.
Anyway, so apparently Mary's there. No, she's not.
Yes.
Oh, you are
yes,
there.
I'm here.
Are you behaving yourself?
Why? What do you expect?
No.
I'll tell you, one of the major highlights for me coming here was finally meeting Kirby.
Okay.
After only talking to him over computer for
the
years.
The sort of life you lead and your highlight is meeting Kirby. Oh, dear.
And tells you how exciting my life is. Yes. And meeting some regular followers from Stories from the Vortex, which is the podcast that Matthew and I do.
Yes. Oh, I see. He's not leaving that podcast then. Yes.
Adam. Yes. They had more people at their panel this morning than we have in this room now.
Oh, dear. Kirby. That sort of sums us up. What?
No, I didn't say Debbie. I said Kirby. My scolding tone.
Yeah. Well, that's why I thought it was me.
Well, it's the Stories in the Vortex is a bit easier to schedule, I guess, because it's biweekly. Also, we can record, you know, quite a bit in advance. So, you know, that makes it just a tad bit easier to do things. I do miss 20 megabyte, I have to say. You know, I miss, you know, staying up till 6:30 on a Monday morning or getting up at 2:00 on a Sunday afternoon, having gotten off work at 5 o'clock in the morning to come talk to you guys.
So what would have been a more convenient time for you then, Matthew?
Sometime between now and never with the way my schedule is.
Thank you very much. Anyway, if you could maybe
guest appearance every now and then.
Yeah, well, if you can only appear on a podcast that's on every 2 weeks, it made logic that you'd only be on this one every, you could have been on every other week. It's not a, I mean, Ben's on every, whenever he
Stop
turns
being
up.
Jealous.
I like Matthew being
just,
on the show.
Yeah, I've just been compared to Ben Shoveler. I'm not quite sure what to
I
make of that.
I did not compare you. I just, bringing up the example of Ben's intermittent appearances on the show.
Anyway, Matthew, what's been your highlight of the weekend?
What has been my highlight of the weekend? I mean, it's there's so much going on. I suppose I did a panel by myself yesterday on the new series, in this very room, in fact.
Yeah.
And given I was up against some stiff competition, including Andrew Cartmell's panel next door and was it Gareth David Lloyd or something going on in the main room?
Name dropper.
I would expect about 3 people to be in here, and instead we had a packed audience in here. So I got to ramble on for about 90 minutes about the new series.
Oh, you were in your element.
I got a round of applause.
Oh, good.
Matthew's idea of heaven is a packed room that he can talk endlessly to.
Yes, heaven. Yes. Absolutely. Yes. But yeah, That's probably why he's not on our show and we haven't got any listeners.
I said, Matthew does like being the center of attention of everything.
He does. He does. It's fairly obvious, but obviously I can't work out why he doesn't want to be on this show, because of course he'd be at the center of attention on our show.
It's scheduling. That's all.
Oh, scheduling. Well, we could sort of work around him somehow.
He's afraid of Debbie.
No, I'm not scared.
He's getting confused. He's thinking of my wife, Debbie, who is very scary. Sometimes.
For the two of you who have not listened to the show as well, we also occasionally have interviews. We've had Andrew Cartmell, who's here, has been on the show how many times now?
Ooh, twice. Yeah, I was going to try and stretch it out a bit, but it was indeed twice, yes.
And we've had Louise Jameson.
Flazer Hines.
She was a surprise to me. I got up one morning to do the podcast, and we were doing the podcast normally, and Adam just introduced Louise Jameson, and I was completely unprepared because she's one of my favorite companions.
Well, you crush it.
We've had Daphne Ashbrook.
Yeah, she's been on twice.
Twice?
Three times, in fact. No, three times, because I had a very quick chat with her at the Doctor Who celebration. Remember when I gave her the mug? And or was that not on the show? Pretty sure it was. I can't remember now. But yeah, I've certainly met her three times.
Kirby was telling me that mm-hmm. you have another guest lined up.
Yes, Nabil Shabam. Is that how you...
That's a secret.
No, it's not.
Oh, it's not a secret anymore.
Why would it be a secret?
Oh, I didn't know
that. Okay. I didn't know it was a secret. It was all over the...
we couldn't hear.
Nabil Shabam. He played Syl in the Sixth Doctor's era.
Silence.
So we'll be talking to him next Monday.
Yeah.
And the podcast usually comes out... couple of days after we record.
Yeah, depending on how much time I got to edit.
If you look on the Conquistadors Facebook page, you'll see an announcement of the podcast coming out.
Do you? Well, I haven't seen that.
Are you a member of the Conquistadors Facebook page?
I am, indeed. It must be you that posts on there, because I keep forgetting to post it on there. Thank you, Kirby.
Maybe we should try and get
out. I post there every
time.
Week.
Oh, what a nice man. Isn't Kirby a nice man, everyone?
Oh.
That was an ovation, then.
No. Wait, hang on a second,
what?
Adam.
Ooh.
Adam.
Hang on. He went ooh. It's got to be one of these.
The clangers have arrived.
Now, that is topical for Doctor Who, by the way. If anybody can think what particular story that was connected with, they'll get a point. Matthew?
It's the Sea Devils, which the gentleman who we have sitting here moderated the commentary on.
Excellent.
Not many people know that.
Actually, hello, Andrew.
Hi. It was fantastic doing the Sea Devils. It was really nice to sort of be out of my comfort zone into a different era and be with all those great dudes who'd done the wonderful stories in the past. And also, I had a slightly different angle on my questions, which we all enjoyed.
Actually, your voice does lend itself rather well to moderation, in my view.
Yeah, perhaps I should be in the Middle East peace talks.
Yes. I think that wouldn't do any worse than some other people that are involved in them. So how are you? Do you realise being on the show for a third time gets you with some sort of upgrade in your status?
I want a free special weapons Dalek for my own personal
not
use.
Not quite that sort of upgrade. No, it's more of a sort of a friend of the show to family member of the show to patron of the show, I think was the next one. Wasn't it, Kirby? He's going to pretend he doesn't know. So
where are you actually based, Adam?
Isle of Wight.
Well, fantastic. What you should do is, as a special prize for me, you should get me to send you a copy of my book and charge you for it.
Yeah, okay, you can do that. I'm going to live with that. And some more cat pictures as well.
Fantastic.
So have you enjoyed Conquistadors?
I'm loving it. It's great. It's a bit tiring because of the time difference and rushing around to do things, trying to fit everything in. So I just came racing in here, disrupting everybody and jumped in on the table. But it's terrific to be back.
I'm my co-host.
It's what I do best.
My co-host Debbie, which is who's on the other line, didn't get a chance to meet you last time on the show, so I better introduce you to her. Go away, go on, Debbie. I said, go away, Debbie. That doesn't work, does it?
Go away, yeah, bye then.
That's what they call a Freudian slip, Adam. Hi, Debbie. It's great to meet you.
Hello, great to meet you too. Hang on, sorry.
What? Have you just fallen off your chair?
No, my laptop fell off my lap I think I was just a bit overwhelmed. I apologise.
You have a tendency to have electrical devices falling off your lap, don't you? I remember your iPad fell off your lap a few weeks ago. You've got a very slippery lap.
Where are you based, Debbie?
Also, Cowes on the Isle of Wight. I'm just literally around the corner from Adam, and I usually am sat next to him at his house, but because it's sort of, it's a school night for the children, we're in separate houses Skyping today.
Yes, just trying to keep my daughter asleep.
Normally we're sat there grinning at each other, aren't we? But no, feels a bit odd.
Yeah, it's not quite right, is it? I was trying to think of something to ask you, Andrew.
I think that there was some particular. We were going to particularly talk about survival, perhaps. Is that?
Yeah.
Is that,
we did wrong? Battlefield last week.
Nope. Oh, I've obviously got that completely wrong.
Yeah. No, we did Battlefield last week, and
I think Sylvester was just dragged in here, wasn't he?
He was. Yes. Yeah, kicking and screaming. Now, we did Battlefield last week, and it's one of the rare stories that we all liked, we all agreed on that we really liked, considering the lowest viewing figures. It was a bit of a shame, but in a way, also quite nice that it's an underrated story.
Battlefield, I love Battlefield, but the guy who wrote it doesn't love it. He just sees all the flaws. But you can learn more about that because the Doctor Who magazine is running an interview with me and me interviewing Ben, and he goes into quite a lot of detail about what he felt he did wrong and what that story needs. But I think it's a magnificent story.
I agree.
That stuff about the Doctor being Merlin and leaving messages for himself. I love all that.
Yeah, I agree.
It was brilliant, wasn't it, with all the mythology and just the Doctor running through it all was just,
amazing. Yeah, and Gene Marsh. I mean, it's let down by some of these special effects and some of the costumes. Like those knights in armor, those are supposed to be futuristic battle armor type.
Oh, yes, they're wearing the jeans, aren't they? Mary pointed out that they were wearing jeans.
those sort of problems apply to all Doctor Who stories in my era. So, and I just think that Ben's brilliant writing does shine through, and also the great acting, people like Gene Marsh, and those wonderful lines.
Yes, there's loads of them.
Yes, Merlin, is it you? It's just fantastic.
Yes, absolutely.
So, I have to say, that was one of my favourite ones we've reviewed so far since I've been on the show. That was one of my favourite ones. I've since watched it again and showed my husband.
The great thing about the two Brigadiers, and as I've said before, we were originally planned to kill off the Nick Courtney Brigadier in that story. But we just couldn't have the heart to do it, and I'm so glad we didn't.
No, me too.
We made the right decision there.
Absolutely.
It's amazing.
So what's been your highlight of Conquisturbo so far, Andrew?
The highlight of Conquisturbo, it's selling out of my book, I have to be honest here. People wanted to buy it, but on a less materialistic level, there was a little panel yesterday where it was just me in a room full of people asking questions. I love that best. That was terrific. I just did one with Sylvester, which was a lot of fun. But it's always very nice if people have just come to see you and then you can sort of be one-to-one with the fans. And, I remember there was a great one like that at Timegate too, so that was terrific.
Oh, brilliant. Fantastic. So who are the other celebrities at the Conquisturbo's this year?
Well, Sylvester is the towering god, obviously.
The towering god, indeed. I saw a lovely video that Kirby posted of him playing spoons amongst a very large audience.
On the mention of the spoons, I think I'd better disappear. It's great talking to you guys again.
So glad
I could pop in.
Driven him away.
Take care.
Thank you,
Take
Andrew.
Care. Thank you.
What do you mean I've driven him away?
Talking about spoons. I didn't know it was a key word that would drive him off.
I didn't know. I didn't know spoons was a key word.
Yeah, we have to watch it next time. Don't spoons.
I'll just make a note of that. Don't mention
the
spoons.
Don't mention him off,
spoons.
Did you?
Yes. Don't mention the spoons.
It was Debbie.
It wasn't me. Gordon Bennett.
Right, what's going on now then? It's really weird sort of being sort of sat in a little room like this with a can of lager and not being able to, because I can imagine you two normally sat by your microphones. I can imagine Mary sat there with a Mac and a cup of coffee and some birds tweeting at the window. I mean, Kirby sat in his little hovel. But now it's a completely different scenario.
I'm usually in the podcast dungeon.
Are you going to be taking any pictures of as you look now, so as we can and post it as you keep ordering everybody to do, post it on the 20 megabyte website so we can get some sort of visual scenario of what's actually going on at your end.
Yeah, I've had several pictures taken of this panel.
Yes. So, are they on now?
As soon as we're done, I will post them.
No.
Huh?
Okay. No, sorry. I thought you were going to do it now. That's fine. Yes. I look forward to it. Pardon, Mary?
Not as it was. Oh, no.
I thought you were.
Right. Are you having an argument? Oh, good. This is fun.
I'm sorry. Of course. Well, my memory was that last year when they did this, that they were posting pictures along the way, but Kirby says no.
Yeah. I can't remember. I think we did have a picture of Lady S, didn't we, during the show, if I remember rightly?
Yes. Yeah, but I posted that later on.
Oh, did you? Okay. Is she there this week?
Oh, maybe I posted it while we were...
It was during.
Was it? Yeah, I'm going to stick with Mary's one on that one. On your side, Mary. I tell you what, though, we've got a bigger audience this year. Last year we had nobody, did we? And this year we've got a slightly bigger audience, which is lovely.
Yeah. I don't have a USB port available. Well, maybe I do. Then I can post some.
Yeah, go for it. Live photos on the 20 megabyte podcast.
Anyway, we don't want to bore the two new people in here.
Oh,
so.
Even more. Okay,
we talk about.
I'll tell you, how about our original plan? Where's Matthew? Well, how about our original plan? This is my plan from a long time ago that we did our top fives.
Well, Matthew's been in charge of getting the guests around, so he had to disappear with Andrew Cartmill, him wherever he was going.
That's fine. We'll let him off. He's done a good job so far, hasn't he, Deb?
Yeah,
he does. Yeah, okay. Right, what about
now, asking Kirby to post pictures at the same time we're doing this, you know Kirby and his success with electronics on this.
Being a programmer.
Maybe we should wait. As long as they take a picture of the speakers and tag us, that's fine.
Okay. So, anyway, back to my original point. The top fives that we were going to do, and you said save it for the con. Was that a viable option?
Oh, hey.
Yes?
Hang on a second.
I'm hanging on a second.
Top five favorite classics.
The subjects, Mary, the subjects were the top five best stories of all time, and the top five or bottom five worst stories of all time, the top five monsters of all time, the top five doctors of all time, and then Debbie thought some other subjects I forgot. Oh, yeah, the top five.
It was just the top five monsters. We thought we'd split them into old and new because
Stories, splitting old and new.
Well, I haven't done that.
I haven't split my stories, I must admit.
Adam. Yeah. Yeah, the one problem with that as well is that my notes, I didn't bring my notes and Mary didn't bring her notes.
Right.
Let's save it for next time. Yay.
Can I just say, that's a bit on the silly side, considering it was your idea to do it. So, yeah. Right, I'm going to have another sip of lager. Right then, so what's going on then, Kirby?
Hang on. Mary's looking up some of the stories. I'm looking up some of the stories.
Oh, good. Oh, this is great, isn't it? I winged it, didn't I, Debbie?
Refresh your 20 megabyte Facebook page.
Oh, hang on. Hang on, I've got to find this. That means I've got to open up another window, but it is a Mac. It should be able to handle it quite easily. Hang on. Welcome to Facebook. Oh, look, there's Kirby waving a set of earphones or something. Oh, there's Mary looking a bit blurry. Aw.
Do you have the camera on?
No. I'm not even on the right page. Camera? Oh, we can't have video, unfortunately, but if Debbie had been with us, if Debbie had been in the room with me, we could have had a video thing, although I'm sat in my underpants, which probably wouldn't have looked too pretty for the people at the other end.
Well, you would at least have put your onesie on if I was coming.
No, it's a bit too hot for a onesie. All right.
Hey, this is Jason. I was going to mention, just wanted to ask your opinion about something, but yeah, this is my, I don't know what you think of how the Cybermen have evolved so far, but even watching the 10th Planet, I've watched it multiple times. I still think they're probably, in my opinion, the most scariest version of the Cybermen in my mind. Because, you know, it's the first appearance of them. But they kind of have that you know, machine talk, but also kind of still come with that human element in that. And to me, it's, even though, you know, whatever they had back then, it just kind of, to me, it's still, even as cheesy as it still has, to me, it's still kind of a creepy factor today still in my mind about this, the Cybermen, in my mind about the 10th Planet, in my mind. I mean, I just want to hear what your thoughts on that story was.
Well, I love the story. Obviously, for one, because it's so iconic, and two, because I totally agree that the Cybermen, that's how they were originally envisaged and how they were supposed to look, to be sort of partly human with cybernetic parts. And for me, they are probably the best of them. But they very quickly went down the more robotic route or the robotic look for them. But for me, they're the most iconic. I've got one of the sort of little 5-inch figures of that particular version of the Cybermen up on my shelf somewhere, and it's a particular favourite of mine. I think they're fantastic. What do you think, Debbie?
I agree totally, because they're so spooky. It's almost like they're wearing, I know it's, you know, it's a balaclava basically they've got on, but with all the tubing around the shoulders especially, it feels more human rather than, you know, the modern big beasts with the, you know, marching around, you know, completely robotised. And this is just is the human element, and the fact that it could happen is they are very creepy, yeah.
And also absolutely. Linking it in with the spare parts Big Finish story, it really works very well. It does sort of add to an extra sort of level to that particular story leading up to the 10th Planet. So yeah, definitely. Thanks for the question. Brilliant.
No, thank you. Yeah.
What do you think of in terms of in New Who? Which version of the Cybermen do you guys prefer?
Well, I personally like the Cybus Industries one, because they were trying to sort of hark back to that idea of the Cybermen. It was a different version. It was an Earth built version rather than, you know, an impact with another planet sort of thing. So I prefer those to the new ones. Although the design is very pretty for the brand new version of the Cybermen, but I like the Cybus Industries ones best. Debbie?
Yeah. I'm unfortunately very boring. I am going to agree with Adam. That was just the brilliant concept of instead of them coming from somewhere else, they were made here. It brought the humanity back into it, really, into the Cybermen, but not like on the 10th Planet, but definitely the fact that it happened here and showing how they made them at, you know, the power station. And I really enjoyed that. But I just think that the more modern they're getting with a lot of them, they're losing the fact that they were human. You know, they mention it, but they're starting to lose the imagery of being human. They're sort of playing a bit too much with that, much like they did with the Daleks when they modernized them to the point where people were putting them to the Teletubby music.
Excellent. I love the picture. It's just been posted by Adam Sawyer on the 20 Megabyte group. Very, very good. Kirby, your hat is superb. Have you thought of trying to sell it on eBay? You might get a lot of money for that hat, as it's your hat.
My father brought this hat back from London probably 30 years ago.
It's got
a Harrods tag inside of it.
Is it? I've got a Harrods teapot in my kitchen. I've never used it. I've used my... I can see it. What's a lovely piece of kit you've got there. I'm just having a closer look on the screen.
Have you used your TARDIS teapot yet?
Me?
Yeah.
I said to you, I haven't used my Harrods one, but I have used my other teapot, which is in fact the TARDIS one. In fact, I made you a cup of tea in it not so long ago.
Thank you. Yeah. Not the one you spilt.
Did I? I spilt it all over the kit. Yes. Anybody else with any questions?
Don't mind if they don't.
I'm enjoying these pictures. These are great.
Yeah.
Don't work too well on an audio presentation, but I'm still enjoying it.
Okay, there's the picture of Sylvester with us.
Oh, hang on, I've got
that one. Yep, there you go.
Listeners, if you want to see these pictures and you're not currently a member of the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who Podcast Facebook group, you can join it, as have previously 364 people. In a moment, we can welcome new members to the group, because somebody did join it during Conquistribus. I presume that's got something to do with you, Kirby. But yeah, it's a great picture. Thank you. That's a keeper, that one. I might have to share that on my normal timeline. Here we go.
I'm sharing it now.
Now, you have to get in first, don't you?
I'm doing it on my phone, though, so it's going to take me a while.
Well, I'm doing it on my computer.
Well, I love tech.
Do you? Well, carry on, Kirby, because I'm typing. I can't type and speak at the same time.
Yeah, well, he's attempting to upload some more pictures, including a picture of all of us around the table at the moment. So.
This is fantastic stuff.
Yeah, it's so we're having a good time so far.
Yeah, it sounds
rather enjoying the banter. Unfortunately, Kirby's speakers aren't quite that loud, and I forgot to bring my laptop cord, so we're having to make do, as it were.
It's working well, thank you, Matthew. I tell you what, everybody, isn't Matthew superb? No, everybody goes so quiet then. Hang on, I've got another little comment from somebody here. My mum got me this clanger, you know.
The clangers.
Yeah, my mum got me this clanger.
You do know that there's...
Well, Mary doesn't know what the clangers are, apparently.
Well, if you watch the Sea Devils, you'll see a clanger. And you'll see Roger Delgado doing an impression of one as well.
The clangers actually work to a script. So most of the time, apparently, according to the creators, they're actually swearing. Oh, bloody hell, the bloody thing stuck again is supposed
you
to be that
one.
You are
not swearing on my podcast, Debbie. Thank you very much.
Oh, I'm sorry. That's what it's supposed to say.
Are you feeling, Matthew, are you feeling a sensation of pride in your efforts for this year's Conquer Strobrus?
I should hope so.
I am. It was both equally happy and terrifying yesterday morning to walk in the front door of the hotel and to see all the people lined up, happy and gratifying that so many people had turned out, but utterly terrifying at the same time. It's like, oh God, we have all these people here. What are we going to do now? But, you know, it seems incredible to me to know that about 7.5 years ago, I picked up the Five Doctors out of a local public library here. And it's been just over 3 years since the first convention was done. And we don't have an exact figure yet, but we are guessing we've had over 1,000 people here this weekend. If you had told me 7.5 years ago, or if you had told me 3 years ago, for that matter, that we were going to have Sylvester McCoy here, we'd have Andrew Cartmell here, that there would be 1,000 people coming to an event in North Alabama for Doctor Who, I'm not sure I would have believed you, but I am nevertheless happy about it.
Not surprised, and thank you very much for your efforts in getting us involved in it. So, highly grateful.
Oh, you're most welcome, Adam. Do the best I can.
And hopefully, you'll still be here next year.
Should we try and go next year?
Oh God!
Yeah. I'd like to try and go.
Let's get you guys here next year somehow.
Yeah, that'd be nice, wouldn't it?
We might get an audience of 10.
Yeah, hang on. The podcast co-founder's trying to enter the house. I've got to try and let her in before the dogs bark. Hang on.
Incidental music.
Is it raining?
Yeah. Just to let you guys know, we are, because of Kirby's laptop speakers, we are having a bit of difficulty understanding you guys.
Okay.
So whatever all the clicking and banging is, we have no earthly idea what's going on.
Alicia has just entered the house in a slightly moody teenage way.
The teenager has entered the building.
Yes.
And exited the room forthwith.
Yes, she has, with a sort of wearing a hood and looking very grumpy. Look a little bit like the Master did in End of Time Parts 1 and 2, actually. She's very similar outfit on and look on her face, so I don't know what's going on there. Talking of the Master, apparently, I've heard that a certain person is going to be playing the Master in the new series. I don't know if it's a rumor or actually true, but Charles Dance, is it apparently supposed to be playing?
That rumor has been circulating for a while now, that was going to be the case, but nobody has confirmed it. As I was saying yesterday on my new series panel, the only people who like to talk about Doctor Who more than Doctor Who fans is the British tabloid press.
Mm-hmm.
So I take anything that the British tabloid press say with a grain of salt until somebody officially confirms it, especially as I have a very strong memory of the fact that when End of Time was about to be made. I think it was the Daily Mail published a story saying that Gillian Anderson was going to play the Ronnie. So, because she was in the UK at the time, I think doing a play and, you know, doing various work. So, I mean, I will believe it when the BBC officially confirms it. I have the same attitude towards rumors as I do missing episodes. When they actually turn up, I will believe it.
But wouldn't it be good, though? Ideal person to play the part.
I think he would be interesting to play the part. I mean, I've said before that I'd really like to see somebody like Kenneth Branagh take on that part.
And, I'm not going to disagree with that either.
Yeah, but as I also said yesterday, I mean, you look at the way that John Simms' Master went out at End of Time, and it actually harkens back to what they originally planned to do with Roger Delgado all the way back in, you know, 1973, 1974. So to a certain extent, I think that, you know, it took them an extra 35 years to get there, but they kind of finished the story off the way they always intended. So, I mean, would it be good if he came back? You know, maybe if they got the right actor to play the part, if the story's right. Because I think if we learned anything from the classic series in the 1980s, especially, that just bringing things back from the old series, from, you know, yesteryear, as it were, because you think it'll, you know, make the fans happy or it will, you know, bring in an audience is the worst thing to do because you're not going to make anybody happy. I mean, you know, we've talked to, you know, we all remember my 10-minute rant, listeners will, about Attack of the Cybermen, which is exactly what that was a case of them saying, you know what, Tomb of the Cybermen is missing. Let's do a sequel to Tomb of the Cybermen, and let's throw a reference to every Cyberman story made up to this point, and let's bring back a character from last year's Dalek story. And you know what? The story is a train wreck, and it doesn't work. So just, would it be good, as I said, would it be good if they brought him back? Maybe. Yeah. As I said, if the right story, if they've got the right actor. But just doing it for the sake of doing it, I don't believe in and I don't agree with.
No, I agree. But I think that what I will say is that Stephen Moffat hasn't had an opportunity to write the Master as a character yet. And I think I'd like to see what he could do with it.
Yeah. I mean, the whole thing with the Heim Lords and Gallifrey now existing again does open a whole lot of opportunities to, you know, go back and delve into Time Lord lore and whatnot. For anybody who's interested, Warp Factor published a story just within the last week talking about the Cartmel Master Plan, and featured a video that's on YouTube of Stephen Moffat making some interesting comments about being asked about it. So it's something I maybe should have mentioned when we had Andrew sitting here, that there's possibly some indications that some of this stuff about ancient Gallifrey and the Doctor's background related to it may be delved into now that Gallifrey is back, for all intents and purposes. But once again, as I, you know, it is yet to be seen. When I see it, I will believe it.
Yeah, absolutely. But fingers crossed, eh? Actually, I talked to another. I saw something in the paper today in regards to Doctor Who that they were actually describing what they were trying to achieve with the new character of the Doctor. But unfortunately, my brain, being what it is, I've completely forgotten what it was.
Oh, that's very helpful.
Yes. Sorry about that. Debbie say something. I'll completely throw myself because I'm trying to concentrate on what the article in The Sun was about. But carry on, Deb.
No, I was just looking. Help. I just delved into Doctor Who News as I was just thrashing about the Cybermen. And I was just looking at Big Finish, you're bringing back the Rani.
We have a fellow podcaster here who I think might want to make just a small appearance.
A small one. Hope it's a bit bigger than small. Medium size would be good. Hello.
Should I go ahead and speak now? Oh, hello. Hi. My name is Nicole Mazza. I'm from the Terminus podcast.
Hello, Nicole.
Hello.
Hi. Well,
thank you for taking time out to appear on our show.
Oh, sure. I was really shy. I was scared to come up.
Can't be shy during the world of podcasting.
I know. That's part of why I'm podcasting, is trying to get over my shyness.
It's a great way, definitely.
What are you talking about, Debbie? You are not shy.
Well, I hide it very well.
No, you don't. So tell us about your podcast, and I don't mind. I'll let you plug it. It's very rare.
Oh, sure. Yeah, it's pretty new. It only has about 7 or 8 episodes right now. It's called Terminus, as I said. Its website is terminus.libsyn.com. I'm on the spot. And it's just kind of just a female perspective about Doctor Who, classic Who and new Who. I've been a really long time fan since the early 80s. And so just a kind of different perspective on things. Sometimes you know, people think that girls don't know anything about Doctor Who.
Well, they don't, do they?
You know, I just, it's a forum for me to geek out about things. I kind of thought, well, if one person listens, I'm happy. And, cool. You know, so that's it. So
do
you...
I've just requested to join it.
Oh,
on
well
Facebook.
Done, Debbie.
Yeah.
Do you ride solo then on this podcast?
Yeah, just me by myself. I'm too shy to add anybody just yet. And I also have to figure out the technology of adding in guests.
I will say that I admire anybody who does a podcast on their own. And I know a lot of very talented podcasters, not personally, apart from Reese Parton, who are able to carry that off. So it's a particularly talented attribute that you have.
Yeah. Well, great. Thank you. Thank you.
I look forward to listening to it as well. I must listen to that one. I'll make a note of that. Thank you very much.
Well, thank you for having me.
Thank you.
And here you go, Matthew.
All right. I'm afraid I'm going to step away for a few minutes. I'm going to go have a late lunch / early dinner with my girlfriend. So I'm just going to say, in the event I'm not able to come back, I'd like to say it was good to be back on the show, and I need to be back on again sooner.
Yes, you do. Yes, you do. You can't get away with it, Matthew. Nobody is... ever really leaves this show. There's always...
Should we book him for Christmas?
Oh, that's too long. That's Christmas. Ridiculous. No, it'd be much sooner.
Well, what we say by Christmas?
No. We've got a new series starting in August, and I expect everybody to be sharp and ready and available for the new series, especially Mr. Reese Parton, who used to be on the show. In fact, he's on the show less than you are, Matthew.
Well, I guess I will part by saying that one day...
That's a bit of a shame.
Continue to be contrary.
Unfortunately,
so go forward with all your antics, and I shall continue with mine.
Unfortunately, we lost you for a few moments.
We lost you just as you
said. You lost him?
Yes.
Yeah, just as he made steady. Well, I'm going to leave you with, and that was it.
Oh no, you missed all that.
I did.
You're going to have to make the speech again. Hang on.
Oh, good Lord. Here we go. Take two.
One day I will come back. Yes, I will come back. But until then, may you continue to bicker. May Kirby continue to be pedantic. And may Mary continue to be contrary.
Yes.
So go forward with all your antics, and I will go forward in mine.
Yes, I will just say, we never bicker.
Au contraire.
Yes, quite considerate, because I'm right. And you're never going to bicker when somebody's clearly right.
Thank you, Matthew.
Yeah, thank
good
you, Matthew.
To you.
See, she's not that scary, Matthew, is she?
He's gone.
Right, and now I do actually think...
Do we want to go ahead and try and discuss some other things?
Or? Yeah, absolutely. I was just about to discuss other things, like, for instance, welcoming new members of the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast Facebook group. Specifically, Daniel Bertram Carey. Did we not invite welcome him last week? I had a list from Ian Kirk, actually, in regards to people who welcome the show.
Yeah.
And Jonathan Edwards. It was added by me 13 hours ago. Welcome, and thank you for joining the group. And remember, everybody sat around the table there at Conker Sturbers can indeed join the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who Podcast Facebook group. And if you don't, I'll just send Kirby round to be pedantic at your houses. Thank you so much.
Hey, this is Jason again.
Hello, Jason.
I was just going to mention a long time ago, I was with some other group. I can't exactly remember the name of the group I was with. I think it was called, like, well, I know now, I don't know if you know these, there's another podcast going on, but I was... joined them for a few times. There's, I don't remember the old name, but the current name of the group is called the Cultum Collective.
Yes.
And there's two guys' names, Ian and Dave Cooper.
That's it.
So
yes.
I'm friends with Dave on Facebook. So I don't know if you have heard their podcast or not.
Yeah, I don't generally listen to that because I think it's not just about Doctor Who, and I don't get a chance to listen to a lot of Doctor Who podcasts at the moment simply because I'm rather busy.
You were listening to our one at work today.
Yeah, I know. I have to listen to it for editing purposes.
Actually, I'm sure you guys are probably friends with these other guys. I think these two guys, there's three guys, two of them from New York area, and one's from England. Some of them you may be friends with already on Facebook.
Yeah, I think I am.
I think it's called Gallifreyan Embassy, I think it was called.
They're on Podshock. Yeah,
Dr. Quadshock, that's right.
That's it, with Louis Trapani.
I'm assuming you have met or talked on Facebook with Ken Deep and Louis Trapani.
Yeah, Ken Deep's been on our show.
James Nalton from the UK.
I haven't actually spoken to James, but I think they sort of have a network of friends, podcasting friends on Facebook. So yeah, pretty sure I'm friends with Dave. Let's have a look. I'm pretty sure.
So anyway, I was just mentioning I have a very small, limited, not much, but I have been in some old podcasts. I don't remember. I have to look it up. I can't think of it right off the top of my head.
You have not been listening to podcasts until you listen to ours.
So I'm not a total rookie, I would say like that. Good. Maybe I'm just slightly, maybe like in the major league, I'm like the double A level maybe at most.
Yeah, so if you haven't been listening to our show, this is episode 227, and you've missed out, and you've got a lot of catching up to do.
Well, I got a lot of catching up of everything in my life I have to do as well. Yeah, I'm so behind on so much Classic Who and so behind on so much Big Finish. I'm just like...
I'm well behind on
Big
Finish.
I wish I could just freeze time and just do it all without even aging or something.
Yeah, that would be handy. In fact, Debbie froze time
today.
Well,
Time Lord, then I'd be okay about that.
I froze time.
Yes, Debbie froze time at work today. Yes.
No, they're all sat
at the other end being rather confused by what I'm saying, but...
Yeah. I left work early thinking it was later and it wasn't. I had to go back in, reopen safes and offices and,
She knocked on my door, said goodbye, and 5 seconds later knocked on the door and said, oh, it's 1 o'clock, not 2 o'clock. I'm going back to work.
I was too eager to come listen to everybody at the con.
And I went,
You right. did that all day.
Did I? Yeah. Oh, yes,
afterwards,
indeed.
Yeah, every time you came round the corner.
Yeah, it's very funny. Right, what's going on here then? Oh, we've got another picture. Oh, we've got a question. So, a question. Has the Doctor ever battled with a giant squid stroked octopus monster on an oil rig? That's from Adam Sawyer. Yes. There you go. Do I get any points for that?
Yes. Are you not going to expand on that?
Well, I forgot to say what episode it was in.
Probably, yes.
The Terror of the Zygons.
Did you give an answer to that question?
I said yes, and then I'm expanding on it. Terror of the Zygons. No, it wasn't. I was thinking of the oil rig. So therefore it would, that's Terror of the Zygons. But then there's another one with a giant squid octopus monster. That was in the time of the Key to Time story, which was Power of Krull.
Yeah, that's the one I can think of is Power of Krull, but is there a oil rig on that one?
I'm not sure, but there is certainly something where I'm not sure it's an oil rig, but it's certainly some sort of rig. They're certainly drilling for something, so I think we'll count that. I reckon I'm going to stick with Power of Krull, but as a second backup answer, the Terror of the Zygons, because there was an oil rig in that, wasn't there? And the Loch Ness Monster.
Yeah, there was definitely an oil rig in that one. I love Terror of the Zygons. I rewatched it about 2 months ago.
Yeah, didn't we review it?
No, we have not reviewed it because I usually like to put things on the randomizer when I actually own the DVD, and I do not own that DVD.
Now we're getting the idea of how this is working.
The troll attacks the the oil rig.
Oh, you've looked it up, haven't you, Debbie?
I have, yeah. Just wanted to make sure.
Yes, I've welcomed new members of the group. What are we going to do next, then?
Who News?
Doctor Who News.
You know, we don't necessarily have to go for a full 2 hours.
Oh, exactly.
I'm not saying we don't, but I'm just thinking Matthew might come back and something else might happen. You never know.
Highly unlikely. Highly unlikely that he'll come back.
So you've shut the door and you've locked it from the inside.
I can heartily recommend the Terminus Doctor Who podcast.
I thought you didn't have the camera on.
Yes, you're right. Big Finish are to bring back the Rani, according to Doctor Who News. Mm-hmm. I told you, there was somebody posted a lovely picture of Kate O'Mara when she was young on Facebook yesterday. I thought it was quite a charming photograph, actually. But who's that actress, then, that's supposed to be playing her?
Siobhan Redmond.
Yes. Now, she looks very familiar. And Debbie's now going to tell me why she looks familiar.
I don't know. I recognise her from something, but I can't remember what it is.
Okay, well, we'll move on then. Doctor Who, BBC have confirmed, that Doctor Who will return on Saturday, the 23rd of August, 2014. Apparently, it's going to be sort of transmitted around about the same time in all its key nations, apart from Australia, which should be in.
No, they're not going to broadcast at the same time. It's not a simulcast.
Around the same time. I didn't say the same time. Did I say the same? Debbie, did I say the same time?
You did say around.
Thank you very much.
Remember, the signal's a little bit dusty.
That's
today.
No excuse. But there's a lovely picture of the 12th Doctor with Clara in the background, posing in front of the console with his hands on his hips, looking like he's chewing on something sour. And there's also a slightly elongated trailer that's come with it, which is like, oh, there's another one here. Am I a Good Man? Doctor Who Series 8 trailer. I haven't seen that one yet.
Haven't you?
No.
Yes? Adam, I'm going to be a Kirby Adam.
Yes.
Adam?
I've got something to ask you in a
minute. We have people sitting around the table here who would probably like to be involved in a conversation.
So would I like them to be involved in a conversation. But before we get them involved in the conversation,
well, you reading Doctor Who News isn't going to do that.
Well, they can chip in what their thoughts on it. Thank you. I feel like I've just been scolded.
You have.
Well, they can't hear you. Mm. And they can't see the screen that only Kirby and I can see.
Okay. And funny enough, I can't see them. Just, so you can help me that side. I tell you what, though, Mary, I was looking at one of these pictures of you sat next to Sylvester McCoy, which reminded me of you when you were sat next to Paul McGann.
Yes.
So therefore, the next one you're going to be sat next to in line of order.
Couldn't get Sylvester McCoy to kiss me.
Well, I'm
you
sure
he's... You got kissed by Paul McGann? Ooh, lucky.
Well, the weekend's not over yet, Mary. Right then. Strike up a conversation, that's what
yes,
I say.
Yes, please do. Let's start talking. And silence.
Come on, Mary.
What? I don't know.
Talk about the weekend.
Yes.
Everybody's highlights. And
let's hear about cosplaying and all that stuff. Yeah. Come on.
Oh, the cosplaying was incredible. Yeah. Oh. And in fact, did you take a picture of the doctor here?
No, I have not. No, I have not. Hang on a second.
We have a first doctor sitting right here in front of us.
Oh, I'm looking forward to seeing this. Also, it doesn't work too well on audio presentations, but it does rather promote our Facebook group for people to come on, join and see the pictures and then probably leave 5 seconds later.
Yeah, the cosplaying was incredible. I've been to the bigger con, the Chicago con, where I've seen things done to like greater specific detail. But I'm telling you, the fan enthusiasm and the volume of contribution here and cosplay was just overwhelming. There was an amazing suit. Is it Sutek?
Sutek, yeah.
No.
No?
No, it was Omega. Omega was here.
You got that one wrong, Sutek. Mary.
From Pyramids.
Yes.
Yeah, Pyramids of Mars.
It was from, no, not Pyramids of, no. Omega is from the Three
Doctors. And Ark of Infinity. Yeah, sorry, Mary.
That's right.
I was going to think, you got me thinking about shooting something then. Oh, yeah, did anybody come cosplaying the 12th Doctor? Is anyone cosplaying the 12th Doctor?
Yes, there was one today.
Yeah?
I did see someone today as a 12th Doctor today, but he's a guy that lives in Atlanta. I've seen him at Time Gate as well.
Yeah, I was just thinking he must be, if he's the only one that went along, he must be really rather proud of himself. So, talking about cosplaying. So does everybody go cosplaying, or is it just sort of most people or half people or what?
Repeat.
I said, does everybody go cosplaying, or is it sort of more of a half and half sort of situation?
I'd say it's more of a half and half, and it scatters. Some people show up day one full costume. Next day they're in t-shirts and jeans, so it kind of mixes around.
Did you cosplay, Mary?
No.
She's wearing a 20-megabyte t-shirt. Don't be so silly.
Sorry.
And we had a fully operational a remote-controlled Dalek, full-sized, going around attacking people. That was really nice. We had our picture taken with it.
Were there lots of kids?
Yeah, a lot of kids.
Aww. They have a kids' room set up that's got a TARDIS in it. Yeah. And things for the kids to do as well.
Brilliant. So I was just about to ask a question. I completely forgot what it was now. Oh, yes. What does everybody think, then, of Peter Capaldi as the new Doctor? I'm not asking you, Kirby, because I've already had your answer. I'm not asking you, Mary, because I've already had your answer. Everybody else, what do you think?
I like... I'm Natalie, and I like the thought of Peter Capaldi. I think he's going to be a great actor for Doctor Who.
Excellent.
Why do you think he's going to be great?
Because I've seen him in, like, other shows, and he was a pretty good actor in those. And so I think it's like a... And plus, he's older, and so I think it brings, like, a new element of, like... Yes. Wisdom and stuff.
But you're one of the younger ones that, yes, I would think, you know, loved Matt Smith and would be just going for another young, cool doctor.
I mean, yeah, I do love Matt Smith, but I like the idea of, like, an older doctor, like the original Doctor Who.
I think everyone's ready for an older doctor again, aren't they,
yeah,
really?
I'd agree. Hopefully, yeah, everybody is.
Hopefully, yeah. Yes.
It's interesting to hear.
I completely disagree.
It's interesting to hear, you know, the thoughts of somebody younger on that you know, subject, mm-hmm, as because obviously most people who have just come to the show recently, that all the doctors have been quite young and dashing. Well, Eccleston, maybe not that much young and dashing, but he's still fairly young as a doctor, and you have to go back quite a long way before you get an older portrayal. I think really right the way back to John Pertwee, really. So it's interesting to see whether people are going to give Capaldi a try or not, really. So how does everybody feel about that?
Well, we've got a first doctor here who will tell us his thoughts on that.
Excellent.
Your name?
Keith Johnson.
Hello, Keith.
And hi, how are you?
I'm fine.
I really liked the newer doctors. I like their physicality. I like the way they bring their presence and bring younger audiences to the Doctor Who. But I'm kind of looking forward and hoping that the older doctor will bring a more cerebral approach to the doctor, which is what I'm more used to from sort of the original,
yeah,
few doctors.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I'm really looking forward to lots of not going around and say Doctor Who and stuff like that. Forget about the title of the show and just start portraying the doctor in a more traditional way.
Yeah, and I want to ask Hiram what he thinks. Hiram, what
are you ready for the older doctor? Yeah, I think it will be interesting to see his portrayal, as we mentioned, kind of in a way we're almost, it looks like they're almost rebooting back to the beginning,
yeah,
to see, you know, no idea how he's going to portray it yet, if he's going to be grumpy or, you know, or what he's going to do. So, I mean, we only have the regeneration scene so far, which is always a little wild. So, yeah, I don't know that we really know how he's going to do. And I don't know that any of his other roles will even give any indication, really.
No, it's quite right.
Yeah. We always seem to have to go through a period of adjustment. We don't always like the doctor right after he generates, so we've got to give him more than one episode, huh?
Absolutely, yes. But I must say, it's getting so close now to the new series, and the fact that we have 12 consecutive episodes is going to be really, really good.
Yeah, but that break in the middle this time around.
I did.
Wait, hang on. We've got Adam who wants to give his opinion too.
Hello, Adam.
I haven't really paid attention to any of it. I remain to stay in the dark and watch the first one when it comes out. Then,
yeah, but you can't help but to sort of think about what might be happening. And a lot of Doctor Who fans like to think, trying to get a step ahead. I think the ones that like the spoilers, they try to sort of think that they know something more than other people do, and I'm thinking that I want to be completely surprised with the new series coming up.
Yeah, I'm 100% opposite of Kirby. Spoiler, spoiler, spoiler for him and me. Don't say a word. It was really hard when we worked at the office together, and he's always wanting to tell me everything. I'm like, no. I don't know. One thing I'm hoping is they'll stop treating the sonic screwdriver like a magic wand.
And, yeah.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, have it for occasional use like it used to be, but don't have it like you say. It's not Harry Potter, is it?
It's become a character of its own.
Doctor, what are you going to do, assemble a cabinet at them?
That's a great line, isn't it?
And then the other night we're watching Rings of Akatar, and he's, you know, magic wand again.
So yeah.
I'd love to get back to less of that.
Yeah.
More serious storylines.
Excellent. Is that everybody? I've got another question. Yep.
Well, yeah, this is Hiram again. Yeah, right. I think definitely looking at the Day of the Doctor that they're certainly implying they were poking some fun at some of the memes, I guess you could say, of the new series. So it does kind of look like they might be thinking of rebooting it to an extent back to something a little different. So
yeah, very exciting.
It's going to be great.
This is Jason. I was just thinking about, like, he was saying about rebooting. I mean, if you remember in the first episode of Series 7, I mean, at the end, they kind of sort of rebooted the Daleks in a sense to where they kind of erased the memory of that Claire version, which I kind of describe as the Zoe version.
Yeah.
And, kind of reset with the Daleks and stuff like that. But yeah, they kind of, from what, I'm trying to be as very spoiler-free as I can, but from what little pictures I'm guessing, like you said, are kind of rebooting, kind of going back to the first Doctor way of doing, because from what I can tell, it looks like they're going to do two teachers and a young girl or young guy, I don't know who they do, and then kind of do that thing. But I just hope they don't overwhelm it with too many, you know, not that I don't mind multiple people, but, you know, having too many companions, I hope they don't, you know, what's the word, overflow or just get too much thing to where they can't not give everyone enough screen time enough to where it's just kind of like, this is getting too convoluted or something.
Mm. Well, I do like the idea of having a male companion in the TARDIS with Clara. And the fact that you mentioned that she's a teacher, I had actually forgotten about that. It would be quite an interesting full circle, wouldn't it, to have a male companion that was perhaps a teacher. And maybe that chap that was in The Day of the Doctor, wasn't there a teacher in there just before Clara disappeared to jump on the motorbike? I mean, that sort of character could come in, although it'd be a little bit Rory-ish, but I would like to see that type of male character in Doctor Who.
What is that? All those all the popping? Are you saying off firecrackers?
Popping.
That's for us to do at the end of the week.
It's not my chair creaking by any chance, is it?
Yes, it is.
By the way, I will say, is that everybody, by the way, on that particular subject? Because we've got another subject to throw at you.
Yeah.
Okay. The second subject, I've heard, and I don't know if it's true or if it's a rumour or what, that Stephen Moffat is going to be doing Series 9. So how do we feel about that?
I don't have any problems with it.
I know somebody would have a problem with it, but he's currently on hiatus from the show, along with a few other people. So how does everybody else feel about a ninth Moffat series?
Well, I guess it would depend on how Series 8 went.
Yes. Well, I do hope that Peter Capaldi is going to be the Doctor.
Series 7 was not a hopeful thing, but if he can, you know, reboot things in 8 and it looks good, why not?
Yeah, but that's what I was saying, though, Mary. I do hope that it's going to be a Series 9 with Peter Capaldi. I'd be very disappointed if the initial rumours that he was only going to do the one series were actually true. But, yes, everybody else?
This is Jason. I was just maybe going back a little bit about Peter Capaldi a little bit for a second. I was thinking about back in Day of the Doctor, you know, like, because starting from Eccleston to Smith, you know, he was getting younger and younger, and I was curious what y'all thought about possibly when he saw the War Doctor version, maybe he kind of forgave himself and says, okay, it's okay if I want to look a little older instead of continue to look young, even though I'm an old man, but can kind of make myself more look more age appropriate, I guess you'd say, of myself. I mean, I don't know. What are your thoughts on that?
I have to say, being a bit of a traditionalist, I got a funny feeling that there was a line somewhere in the Doctor Who Regenerations. That's a terrible way I said that. I might have to edit that out. There's a time somewhere in the Doctor's Regenerations where he said, regeneration, it's a lottery. Sometimes you just don't know what you're going to get. I think it was the fifth Doctor said that just after. Didn't he say it's a trouble regeneration? You don't know what you're going to get, that sort of thing. And I think it's always going to be the case that it's completely random. You can't actually choose what you look like.
Yeah, I think, though, there have been indications through the series that he has at least subconsciously chosen his form. You know, the fact that Colin Baker appeared and then he took that form. And then, I mean, we've had a couple of cases, and I think that's one of the things Stephen Moffat has said he will address in this as to how Peter Capaldi has appeared twice before in that universe.
Yeah, I hope they do. That'd be lovely. I'd love to see how they work that into the storyline.
I frankly don't care. I mean, these are entirely different characters, and I maybe because I'm not the OCD geek a lot of you guys are. Yeah, they said they're working on me.
Speak for yourself, Mary.
mean, no. Those are old stories. Those are other characters. Move on.
No, but I do like the, because they never really explained it with the Sixth Doctor and Maxell. I'd like it if they did actually, because it would be quite an interesting story that the Doctor perhaps had to turn himself human for a time, like he did in what was the one that Paul Cornell wrote, Family of Blood, wasn't it? To have that sort of aspect, maybe the Doctor somewhere along the line had to hide on Earth in the Roman times and become a family man, and that was how we ended up meeting him like that. Although I think perhaps also might explain why he decided he particularly wanted the TARDIS as an ornament in his house. Anyway, anybody else?
Good. Interesting idea.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Anybody else on Moffat in Series 9?
Apparently not.
Apparently not. Right then. So I've managed to think of about four or five subjects there, Kirby. It's your turn.
It's my turn for what? I've been posting and stuff. Forget about me.
Oh, I forgot. Right. Mary. Mary, you have a go. Come on. You're quite a... You're a woman. Women are very good at striking up conversations about stuff. Good Lord.
Yeah, well, see, between Kirby typing next to me and the crowds, you know, roaring in another room.
Everybody's favourite episode of Doctor Who.
I thought we were doing that next week,
Debbie. There you go, women.
People sat around the table.
Yeah, I like this. This is what we were going to do. We were going to do this, and then Kirby left his notes in his room and ruined the whole blimmin' thing.
Stop being grumpy.
Right, okay. So we're going to go for favourite. Shall I go?
Why not?
Favourite. I like that idea, Debbie, that I had a while back. Yes. Thank you. Right. So.
So Debbie's come to the rescue.
Yes, she has. Well, it was originally me, but she's just rebooted my idea.
Give him the credit. There you go.
Okay, right. My favourite story of all time is. Wait for drum roll. City of Death.
Yes!
Did you hear that?
Yes,
we're running through Paris, through Paris.
That's Mary's favourite piece of music from Doctor Who of all time. Debbie, what's your favourite story of all time?
Well, it's actually a modernish one. It's Blink. No cheers for that, but I absolutely adored Blink. Don't blink.
Right then, now, Mary, you can take it round the table at your end.
Debbie, did you say Blink?
Yes, she did.
Ah, that was mine.
I just couldn't fault that one. That was just amazingly written, amazing. It's just such a great idea.
Yeah, every way, shape, and form. I mean, that hooked me more than anything in becoming a real follower, you know, wanting to hear all the other stories and follow the Doctor.
It has with a lot of people, Mary, but I will tell you, it's not even in my top five.
Oh, Travis.
I'm not surprised.
Blink, I think, is one of my top ones.
One of them, but it's the top.
Modern Who, The 11th Hour is the one I keep going back and watching. Mm. As far as Classic Who, City of Death.
Thank you.
One of my favorites, probably from New Who, is probably, I have to say, Dalek.
Yes, that's a good one. That's up there for me.
If we're talking New Who, my favorite New Who story, because it's number four on my list of all-time favorite stories, is in fact The Parting of the Ways.
Yes. I'm in terms of all the New Who. Well, I don't know what Capaldi's like, but from Eccleston, Tennant, and Smith, I'm still an Eccleston fan of the new series.
Yeah, well, without him, we wouldn't be where we are now, to be fair.
Exactly. He was excellent.
Classic Who at the... Oh, shoot, that's too many to pick from.
It's of all time. It's fine. It can be modern or classic. Don't worry.
Of all time. I don't know all time, but I guess one of my favorites has to be probably Tomb of the Cybermen.
Oh, can't go wrong
there.
My
favorite.
Yeah.
So much to choose from.
This is Natalie.
Hello, Natalie.
From New Who. Uh-huh. I'd have to say my favorite has to be Amy's Choice.
Oh, excellent one again.
Mm-hmm.
Not in my top five, but still superb. Sorry, carry on.
I'm gonna say it's because like it shows like what Amy could have done with her life if she hadn't chosen to travel with the Doctor, and I also think it shows like how much love Amy and Rory have for each other, which I think is really sweet.
Yeah.
And I can't really say much for Classic Who because I'm not all caught up with that.
So. Well, you've got a like, lot of stuff to catch up on there, I think.
A few, but it's got like the I know there's like a BBC kind of like specials, like the first Doctor, second Doctor, like their backstories, and I've seen the ones from there.
Yeah. Do any of the classic ones that you have seen stick in the mind that you really liked?
From the first Doctor, the can't remember the name, but you know. Yeah, the Aztecs.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's
I thought that was really cool.
Yeah, yeah, it's really good.
Excellent.
Thank you.
Do they get Daily Motion over there? Because she could catch up and watch what she watch on Daily Motion, as they've had so.
They
many
do have Daily Motion, yeah. As Mary was yeah. Subscribed to. Okay.
This is Keith.
Hi, Keith.
Hey, new who? Dinosaurs on a spaceship, obviously. It's just there's a lot of. It's dinosaurs.
Dinosaurs.
I mean, in some ways that harkens back to one of may even be the first episode. I don't remember now of Doctor Who where they travel back in time, and I can't remember the exact name of the episode. So there's actually a lot of analogies inside that story, but also some pointers back to very early Who, and. I have a lot of the classic Who, but Monsters of is it Peladon? Pelagon?
Yeah, Peladon. Yeah,
Peladon. Yes, yes.
Excellent. I don't have to say that I think Dinosaurs on the Spaceship is very much a Marmite story. I think I personally really like it. I've heard of people absolutely detest that one, but it's not a bad one for me. I quite like that one. It's very very sentimental though, especially with the dinosaur and everything that I think ends up unfortunately having to spoilers. To die towards the end of the story.
All right, this is Hiram. I don't know that I can pick a favorite out of each one. I guess I can give a couple of my favorites. So maybe the new series, Girl in the Fireplace. Mm-hmm. I thought that was really well done. Very heartwarming or touching, I guess you'd say.
Yeah.
Then... the classic series, I mean, there, as you said, there are so many to choose from. Genesis of the Daleks, I think, was a really good one.
Yeah.
Yes, that's up there on my list. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm surprised no one mentioned that yet. So well done.
That's actually top of my classic ones.
Definitely. Yeah, this is Adam. Sawyer. I know Adam Pearson. of the new Doctor, I'm really fond of Turn Left.
Yeah.
Yes.
Good one. Good one. Good choice.
also, The Doctor Dances is also a favorite of mine.
Yeah. Another good one.
Classic, though, of course, is City of Death. Fantastic.
Well done. See, I told you I was right.
Say hello.
Hello.
I am not too much in the Doctor Who. I am just learning. And... watching and sharing time with Adam.
What's your favorite one?
And I think I have to say that the Turning Left, mm-hmm. what is that the same that okay. because we watch together.
Turn Left, yeah.
Turn Left is good, yes. But if you haven't watched a lot of Doctor Who, you've got a lot of fun ahead of you. Mm-hmm. I have to say though, having had Sylvester McCoy at the conference, I wonder if anybody's bothered asking if it's true about the Five-ish Doctor's reboot sequel.
Actually, someone did ask about that today.
Yes.
Hiram, since you asked.
Yes, I was actually the one who asked him about that.
Yeah.
He said that Peter had mentioned to him that he was interested in doing it, but since it was a labor of love and they had no money to do it, he didn't know if it was going to happen or not. He said, "I guess we could take up a collection and send it to him."
It's not a bad idea. I bet they'd get the money too.
Yeah.
I bet they would.
yeah, he said that because what was done, as Hiram said, out of love, and everybody was contributing their time, you know, all the big stars, as you saw in it, we're basically doing it for free. It was something that just came together, you know, because of that. But to plan out another story, he doesn't even know what other story they could center the five doctors around. You know, and they'd all love to do it, but without the money, without the, organization behind them, like they had for the last one, it, right now, it doesn't look like it's going to happen.
Oh, I thought that might be the case, actually. On the subject of you, Mary, I mean, obviously, this is the first time you actually managed to meet up with Kirby and Matthew and that. How's it been? Would you rather meet them up with them personally to do the podcast in future, or would you like to go back to just sitting in your lovely little house with your cats and your birds?
And the birds.
Yeah, don't forget the birds.
Well, it's been a great time socializing with him, but the problem with doing this with Kirby is he's such a techno geek that he spends all of his time with, he's got about 10 devices here. He's got plugged in and he's on one or the other, or one of them is alarming off. So he's not a great person to sit here and try
That's
to do a podcast.
It's just the toaster, I suppose, isn't it, just going off?
Sure. While we were talking, you remember when we were talking with Sylvester, when he made a mention about the TARDIS landing?
Yeah.
It was my youngest daughter texted me. She's on the road with my wife on the way to Chicago, and they wanted to know the radio frequency of a radio station. I texted back that I couldn't tell them I was podcasting. And so I was just letting her know that back and forth with during a lot of this too. And I've been posting pictures. I've got two Nexus 7s here, my camera, the computer. It's just
two keyboards.
Two keyboards, yes.
So basically what you've done is you set up your home studio there, haven't you?
Yes.
Yeah, I thought so, yeah.
Mission Control, yes.
Yeah. Where's the cat?
We're right down the street from the U.S. Space and Rocket Center.
Yeah, I know. You told me that last year. I wouldn't have thought it changed much from last year.
Adam just went to, didn't you?
I'd like to go there.
It's about one-tenth the size of the Air Force museum that I live near.
Well, when somebody buys me a ticket to go over to Concord Cerebrus.
I think we should endeavour to get over there.
Yeah, so what for you, missus? I can't afford to go over there. I'd love to. But I wouldn't be allowed to anyway.
Why is that all right for me? I work at a post office.
Why is it all right for me? I work in the co-op. Anyway.
Okay, time for a new topic.
Yeah,
This topic is what is the absolute worst episode that you would caution somebody away from seeing to keep them from hating Doctor Who?
All right, now, Mary, can I just say to you, well done, because I've actually written a list on this.
Dear Lord, Angels Take Manhattan, I cried, and that's not like a bad episode, but it's like, too emotional. If you don't want your heart broken right away, don't watch it.
Too emotional.
Yeah.
It's the worst episode ever. I hate to do this, but I'm going to have to say Attack of the Cyberman. That's probably one of the worst ones.
Not even in my top five.
If you didn't know much at the time, then you're not going to understand the episode at all.
Okay.
Now, if you have been watching, it's not a great episode, but it's a tolerable episode, I'll say.
Okay, fair enough. A lot of Doctor Who is tolerable, though, isn't it?
Twin Dilemma.
What? You're joking, Kirby.
Gunfighters.
Yeah. I wouldn't go on.
Gunfighters, me too.
I will say Gunfighters isn't among my top five, but I don't like it.
No response. Gunfighters.
Gunfighters,
right.
Yeah. Okay. Another one.
Yeah. What, for Gunfighters?
Yeah.
Probably any of them where Rose and the Doctor are about to kiss. Any of the Rose and Doctor romance episodes, can't stand them.
So basically the whole of the Rose and Doctor with Tennant, basically.
Hold on. I gotta counter that. You don't like that? You don't ship the Doctor and Rose? I thought maybe Christopher Eccleston and Rose? That's a little odd since there's a big age difference there. But David Tennant and Rose, I thought that was pretty darn good.
It was a complete departure from what I understand to be Doctor Who, but it was okay.
Yes, that's it. Yeah, it was such a departure from his character to suddenly become this romantic hero was quite an odd thing. But yeah, David Tennant, I mean, yes, definitely.
About the 11th Doctor marrying Riversong.
I like that idea. Why shouldn't he marry?
They shouldn't be married.
Why not?
They shouldn't even be in love with each other.
Why not? He hasn't seen a lot in the few hundred years, you know. He's been traveling around the TARDIS. What? He's married his mother?
Yes.
How has he married his
mother? A woman that could be his mother.
You've confused me.
I know. I'm not getting into the actual family relationships. I'm just saying that the appearances.
Nah.
A boy marrying someone who could be his mother.
I think it's more of he's marrying somebody that could be his granddaughter, bearing in mind Amy was his companion and a very young companion, which he knew since she was a child, and River is her daughter. There's a bit of sort of, you know, awkwardness there in my view, but she's a grown woman. She's regenerated several times. And I do like the character of Riversong. What does everybody think about the character of Riversong?
I like Riversong overall. I mean, I like kind of how they've been kind of thrown it, kind of where they kind of meet up at different time points and stuff like that. But I'll be more interested if they do bring River back to see what Capaldi, how the interaction,
yes,
if he meets up Capaldi. That's more what I'm more interested in to see right now. Because, you know, he, you know, it kind of looks a bit more appropriate, I guess you'd say. You know, nothing against Matt Smith and Riversong, but this is going to be interesting, I'll say, like that.
No, it's a good chat.
No, totally agree.
She's so sassy, I love it. Just, I really like Riversong.
Yeah, it's a good character.
Seems good.
I like Riversong. I think that she brings a different element to the show that we haven't seen before, and it brings some freshness to the show.
Yeah.
Some sass.
I personally couldn't really care for the character. I think that what they tried to do with it at the end was a lot more clever than what they were originally going with, and they just kind of wrote themselves into a corner with it. So I'm kind of pleased with where she ends her story. Locked away in a horrible mind prison thing.
Library.
And we have somebody who came back.
Would that be Matthew?
Yes, it would be.
Excellent.
So, how was your meal?
It was quite good, though I had to get back here in a hurry, so I only got about halfway through it before having to throw it in the box and run back.
So, what's your favorite story of all time, though? Backtracking a little bit, Matthew.
Favorite story of all time. I think I've been asked this question before. I'm going to have to narrow it down to two: one from new series, one from the old series, one from the new series. The old series, it's going to be Genesis of the Daleks. It is a absolutely fantastic story. New series, it's going to be Human Nature, Family of Blood. It is, you know, it's just absolutely fantastic story. Paul Cornell does a really good adaptation of his own novel, updating it for the 10th Doctor Martha instead of the 7th Doctor Bernice Summerfield. But it is absolutely fantastic, and I think it's a really fascinating exploration of the Doctor's character from a different point of view, and a stunning performance, I think, from David Tennant.
Yeah, agree. I didn't actually get around to say what my worst story was. It was Web Planet, by the way, everybody. That's my least favourite story of all time. So what's your least favourite story of all time then, Matthew?
Twin Dilemma? I mean, you know. I mean, I've watched it 2.5 times, as I said when we reviewed it. Once on VHS out of the public library when I found out how bad it was. Once on DVD when it came out because I couldn't believe how bad it was. And the first two episodes again when we reviewed it, and I decided, yes, it was just as bad as I remembered it being.
Fair enough. I'll tell you what, this might shock people, that my least favourite New Who story of all time is The Doctor, The Widow and The Wardrobe. It's appalling.
That one I would absolutely agree with, actually. It's just not that good. I think that, you know, it's just throwing things together. It's the kind of thing I honestly expect from, you know, Russell T. Davies, that let's take a bunch of cool things and throw it together. But I've got to get ready for the closing ceremonies here, so I am going to bid adieu this time.
It probably will be now because we're running out of time.
Well, you guys have still got a few. These guys here have still got a few minutes, but being on core staff, I have got some things I have to attend to.
Okay.
So
well, I'll see you soon,
until
Matthew.
Next time, Adam.
Yes, absolutely. Thank you, Matthew.
Take care.
Yeah, we'll want to stop this before the closing ceremonies as well, because they're going to make the announcement.
Yep, that's fine.
And that's the top of the hour. They're going to be making the announcement of who the guests are for next year.
Ooh, oh, are you going to let us know?
Can you post that on the page?
Yeah, we'll let you know.
Excellent.
Oh, is that going to let Debbie know if she's going to come?
Yeah, I hope so.
I have no idea how someone flies into Huntsville. I mean, is there a major airport here?
I'll fly into a major airport and hitch.
No, you fly into a major airport and Kirby will come and pick you up.
What?
Oh, hang on.
We couldn't hear you because everyone was talking at once here.
No, I said I'd fly into the nearest major airport and hitch.
Yeah, and I said she'll fly into a major airport and Kirby will come and pick her up, even if it's in Alaska.
Fly to Atlanta. I'll bring you here.
Yeah, fly into Atlanta,
In Honolulu, he'll come and pick you up.
Right.
Yeah. Have a holiday.
I was
going to
say something about that. About the Doctor, the Widow, and the Wardrobe.
Yes, it's rubbish, isn't it?
I remember we spoke about it, the day after it was broadcast, and we were all still trying to give it positive reviews, I remember.
Trying.
We ought to go back and re-review some of those newer ones that we did, like, the day after they were broadcast.
Yeah, I suppose we could do that.
Our opinions may have changed. Yeah. I remember trying very hard to like that one.
Yeah, because it's brand new. I think it's very difficult not liking brand new Doctor Who, isn't it? Because it's so brand new. And then when you've had a few months to sort of think about whether you really want to watch it again. And I get that feeling sometimes about the newest of the Cybermen stories, with the two kids. I can't remember what it's called now.
And Rings of Akatan.
Yeah, I'm not that keen on that one, to be honest with you, either. I like Clara. But I'm not too sure about Rings of Akatan, to be honest with you.
Hold on, we have another opinion.
Good.
Okay.
Oh, I was going to say, I really like the Rings of Akatan, but that's probably just because I really like Clara.
Yeah. Yeah, that's cool. I can say that.
Cool,
she's a brilliant character, yes. And a lot of people don't like her for some reason I do not understand.
This is Jason. I can think of at least maybe two stories I don't like of New Who. Probably the first one, I can't remember if it's the right name. It's called The Idiot's Lantern. Is that the one where roses fell all those people's faces?
That's right.
I didn't really like that one. I thought it was okay. And then my second least favorite one is probably Curse of the Black Spot.
No, it's pretty bad. It's not amongst my list, but it's pretty bad.
I did not enjoy Space Pirates. No.
What Space Pirates did you say?
Not Space. I don't know what they called it. What did they call it here?
What did he say?
I have one I really don't like. I can't remember the name, but it's where it's with Martha, and I can't remember the name. He's like, he forgets he's the doctor and he goes by John Smith and he's a teacher.
Family of Blood, which is one of the most highly rated stories of all time.
Human Nature.
Human Nature, Family of Blood, yeah.
I didn't like it. Really?
Why didn't you like it? What was
it? Don't tell him I said that.
No. It's great. Brilliant to have another opinion on it. What didn't you actually like about it overall?
I don't know. I think it was just the fact that the doctor didn't know who he was, but there's also some other things. I just can't exactly pinpoint, which ones. Overall, I didn't think it was good. It just wasn't that good. So, don't tell Matthew I said this.
Yeah, he's not there. You're right. I'll tell you what you should say to Matthew. Just tell him you hate the Seventh Doctor. But I wouldn't say that at that convention at the moment.
Yeah, I was going to say, actually, yes, originally it was written as a novel for the Seventh Doctor.
So really?
Should actually read of course, the original.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, and it probably would have been, in some ways, that would have been lovely to see the Seventh Doctor in that, that as it was originally written. Because I'm sure Sylvester could have pulled that off really well. And it would have been good for him to actually be able to play a character like that, a sort of human person that may or may not be the Doctor. But David Tennant did do a good job in the end, so that's fantastic. Talking about some worst stories, I did have as my number five, it's been rated by quite a lot of people as the worst story, and it's certainly worse than The Twin Dilemma, Kirby. Time and the Rani.
Where's the microphone?
Yeah. I kind of like Time and the Rani.
Oh, well,
I did that one with, I was a guest on the Earth Station Who podcast about a year and a half ago. And we did that one. And I disagreed with them as well. I like Time in the Ronnie.
And, okay. And just to let you know, Andrew Cartmill would agree with you. That's what he said was the worst, the story he disliked the most.
Not surprised, because that's the only one he wasn't involved in as script editor, if I remember rightly.
I can say, well, the only thing I can always say I did like about Time in the Run is the fact that Kate O'Mara did a better Mel than what Bonnie Langford did as Mel.
That's right.
Yes. Oh dear, poor Bonnie.
Bless.
Yeah, and Sylvester McCoy was saying that that being his first story, that he went into it kind of scared because Kate O'Mara was such a big star. And the one thing that kept him from being scared was because he'd worked with Bonnie Langford so much before that it was like, you know, the friend, you know, the one that made him feel like he wasn't, you know, just the new guy on the set. So it was kind of fun to hear him tell his stories about doing Time in the Ronnie.
Yeah. So I think we're running out of time a bit, actually, because it's getting towards 10 o'clock here.
Yeah, need to go and see the closing ceremony.
Yes. Oh, you're going to watch it, are you, Debbie? Are you going to manage that then?
No, I'm not. Sort of not I said Skype they, thing. Not we.
Oh, okay.
Honestly.
So, yes, and I hope everybody here, I mean, that's everybody, is going to turn up for next week's show.
I couldn't hear you. Yep. We can't hear you. Sorry. There's people talking on this end.
I'm not being funny.
Is everybody there going to turn up for this next week's show?
Hang on.
For God's sake.
Repeat, please.
I hope everybody there is going to turn up for next week's show. Now you're all contracted to actually turn up at Kirby's house for next week's show.
And what are we reviewing?
Next week, yes. Next week we are going to be reviewing Kirby. And no, you're not going to knock it off because it is in the schedule.
We're going to be doing what?
No. Oh. What we're reviewing next week, for goodness sake. This is a podcast. It's a weekly show. Back to normal next week.
And tell everyone here who doesn't know what we will be reviewing.
That's what I was hoping you was going to do because I've forgotten.
I'm trying to remember the name of... it's the second of the Syl stories.
That's right, because we have a special guest, don't we? Nabil.
Mindwarp.
Mindwarp.
Yeah, Mindwarp.
Mindwarp.
Yeah, because we're interviewing...
Nabil Shaban.
What's his name?
Nabil Shaban.
Yeah.
He's coming on at 11, so we've got to get the review out of the way between 10 and 11 before he comes on. That's going to be interesting, isn't it?
So we can do that. Is that going to match up with your time and my time? I think so.
Is it?
11, 10, 9, 8, no, 7, 6. Yeah.
I'm Kirby.
Okay. Yeah,
we're starting at normal. Starting at normal. It's just we haven't.
Starting at the normal time.
Yes, it's just an hour into the show, Nabil comes
on.
Yeah,
we have to get him to do the laugh.
Yeah, absolutely. And a bumper.
He's going to do it in the middle of saying you're listening to the 20 megabyte Doctor Who podcast.
Yes, and the funny thing is, right, we've had now Andrew Cartmill on the show 3 times, and each time I've forgotten to ask him to do a bumper. That's got to be a record, isn't it?
It's an amazing voice, isn't it?
I thought he had. That's why I didn't ask him.
He's never done one. People confuse his bumper with the Andrew Smith bumper we had, because they do sound quite similar.
Oh.
Hmm.
Well, if I spot him, I'll try and ask him.
That'd be good if you could, because that's the only one I haven't had apart from when we had Nick Briggs on a long time ago.
I think people are starting to abandon the room. So.
Yeah, okay, okay. No worries.
I could have said goodbye.
Nice to speak you all.
hopefully at least they will be listening to the show next week, eh? Or this week even. Yes. So anyway, I'm going to go and watch some World Cup. And you lot, really? Enjoy the rest of the convention and keep posting photographs. We want to see what we're missing.
Yeah, there'll be more.
Brilliant.
Brilliant.
And well done, Kirby. Well done for the production at the American end of the show. It's don't work really well. So, and thanks for everybody involved. Brilliant stuff.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having us.
And until then.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye, Elton. Bye-bye.
The 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast is an APV Services production and is a proud member of the Doctor Who Podcast Alliance. Doctor Who is the trademark of the BBC. No copyright infringement intended.